I would just start where Frank left off there, and he's talking about the need for an ombudsman on the model of Nulla Oron in the north, and the way in which that would at least represent a significant advance on what we've got at the moment. And I just remembered when I was driving down, or being driven down earlier, down from Derry, I was listening to the news, I forget if it was RTE or Today FM, but one of those programmes from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and naturally the only story of the day is the provisional IRA statement and the new dawn in the north and all that. And there was one of the journalists, very fine journalist, Fionnuala O'Connor was on speaking and said, well, is this it now, Fionnuala, is that everything solved? He said, oh, not at all, not at all. There's still major problems in the north, and it's not entirely certain that we're going to get over them. And this is, and of these problems, much the most serious and difficult is the problem of policing, is the north she's talking about. And is that after all recent events in Ardoyne, and just last week in East Belfast, or this week in fact in East Belfast, where there's a standoff between two different loyalist paramilitary groups, that this illustrates the deep problems of policing in the north which remain unresolved. And Danny Morrison was on it as well. And Danny says, it's quite true, policing is still a big problem. He says, after all, he says, we are entitled to an accountable police force in the north, and we don't have one. Now, actually, I'm not saying that everything is fine and dandy in the north as regards policing, or indeed as regards anything else. But it did strike me as remarkable that, probably, maybe this thought only came to my mind immediately because I was en route to speak at this meeting. This struck me as remarkable that in a media outlet based in this state, in Dublin, that this discussion about the need for an accountable police force in the north should proceed for 10 or 15 minutes without anybody saying, you know, by the way, we've got problems down here too, and we don't even have the degree of accountability that there is in the north. And if you want to know how deep and profound, how fundamental the problem is that Frank has just been illustrating, I make this little experiment. Buy the Dublin papers tomorrow and read the coverage of the IRA statement and read all the pundits. Left wing, right wing, some friendly republicanism, some deeply hostile and don't give them an inch. Read them all. Every one of them who talks about the future will mention the policing problem which remains outstanding, the need for accountability. Every one of them will have statements in about the need for an accountable police force in the north. Not one of them, not one of them in that coverage will mention the McBrearty case. Not one of them will mention that for all the problems of policing in the north, there's more accountability there. To say it's not perfect, there's more accountability there than there is down here. It's just not a remarkable fact. I've been to a couple of months back, I was at a meeting of the policing board in the north, which actually meets in public. There's a bit of public relations in many ways, a bit of a facade. But you actually can walk in off the street. It was in the City Hotel in Derry, or whatever it's called, a big hotel in the centre of Derry. It's called the City Hotel, yeah. City Hotel, the centre of Derry. It was just advertised in the newspapers. Meeting, policing board, monthly meeting, open to the public. Have you any questions? You ask the chief constable, chairman of the policing board, come along, 2 o'clock, Wednesday afternoon. I thought, that's interesting. I went down. A couple of questions they asked. It was a wee bit fixed up, you know, it was a wee bit. It was readied up a bit because you actually had to hand your question in advance and so forth and get a member of the policing board to ask it for you. Sort of, they were sitting around a big semicircular table, and after they had asked a question, you could add a supplementary if you liked of the chairman. But nevertheless, you could come in sort of and do it. Now, when has anybody ever heard of such a thing in Dublin or Cork or Galway or Sligo or Raphoe? Well, have you ever heard of this? We can actually go in and see the Garda Commissioner and say, I got a question, and the press is there, and television's there. It's absolutely remarkable. And yet, we're discussing it. As I say, read the papers tomorrow and check out if this is true. Nobody will mention, in connection with the remaining policing problems in the north, that there are far more deep-rooted problems down here. Far less accountability down here. This in itself illustrates the profound nature of the problem that we are facing. I mean, you look at the number of people affected by it. I was at Donald McCarthy was up from Dublin as well from the party and meeting in the McBrearty's night spot, can I call it that? Sort of Frankie's in Raphoe. I wasn't a public meeting. I mean, said it, but an absolutely remarkable afternoon. Saturday was, yes, last Saturday afternoon. Went on for about 3 hours. Frank chaired it. The meeting consisted entirely of people telling their stories. People who had contacted the McBrertys from Clare and Roscommon and all around the south of Ireland. About 10, 12 people, I suppose, with 10, 12 separate cases.
23
families were represented. 23 families are represented. Went on for about 3 hours. Then the MBA had to leave, and it could have gone on for another 3 hours because hardly anybody got as much time as they really wanted and really needed to tell their stories. And here was a remarkable thing which took me totally by surprise. You see, some people have heard it said, isn't it fascinating that this, the Morris Tribunal and all this publicity and all this campaign, that it all started with a road traffic accident, or a hit and run case to be more accurate about it. But it all started with, at the very least, an incompetent and botched or non-investigation by the Gardaí of a person being killed late at night by a vehicle as they walked along the road. Isn't that remarkable? Sort of just that little thing, it all came out. But actually, when I came out of that meeting, I thought, that's not remarkable at all, because here's something that never occurred to me. The scandal in this country of the non-investigation of road traffic accidents. Now, there's something. There are revolutionary parties have never actually taken up road traffic accidents. They must be investigated. But over and over again, what people told was people, you know, it sounds, there's an amusing aspect to it, in a way. But you're dealing with something deeply tragic, as people told of their children killed and taken from them, and been unable to discover how it happened, why it happened, who was responsible, were they drunk? Was there an element of deliberation about it? Was there somebody, one case, give you an example, one woman told a story about a child being killed on a road, and it was to do with the reason why it happened is that the surface of the road sort of hadn't been laid right. Had been laid, although the county council had been paid over €300,000 by the National Road Authorities to lay a road, they hadn't done that. They had actually painted the white lines on top of what the proper title of these things are, the underfilling, which is supposed to be there, but it hadn't been properly covered. Somebody was on the take, it seemed to me, though I couldn't prove it, because there'd never been an investigation. Somebody was on the take, huge amounts of money. So the road isn't what it's supposed to be, and in wet weather, it was a death trap, and there's good reason to believe that the recent tragic case in which five children were killed sort of in a bus accident had something of the same element about it. To do with corruption, and to do with the fact that because it's corruption, touching in high levels, touching people in high places, it isn't investigated at all by Gardaí. Therefore, people find themselves, that the grieving relatives of somebody who's killed in a road traffic accident. And what it reveals when you go into the detail of it, what it reveals is deep Garda corruption. The unwillingness on occasion to investigate things which might lead to a finding against people who are well got and well connected, and particularly if the victim is just an ordinary 5'8 with no ability to come after the authorities and to demand the truth. The 23 families represented at that meeting, how many do they speak for? And about half the cases seem to me to be, as people described them, to be about people killed on our roads. How many people do they represent? What a vast reservoir of scandal and grief is represented in those stories, which never comes to the fore, which we don't hear about, when nobody called to account about it. And the point that I'm making is that when you begin to look at particular cases, and then you begin to see the way in which they resonate and reverberate outside, there's other examples, and other people speak up and say, I've no doubt at all that if you want the other parts, that was just in Rafo, and people who had taken the trouble to contact the McBrertys and to travel up from Roscommon and Clare and Louth and wherever else they came from, all the way up to County Donegal on a Saturday afternoon. How many others are there out there who are sitting, suddenly watch the television and think at times quietly, me too, us too, our family too, we went through that. But who can they turn to? Where are they to get justice? Where are they to get truth? We're told in our society that if you suspect that a crime is committed, you go to the police force, you go to the Gardaí. But they've been there. They get no satisfaction and no explanation as to why they get no satisfaction. And politicians unwilling or unable to take the cases up for them. And a media which is unwilling or unable to take the cases up for them for all sorts of reasons. Unable at times even to get a lawyer to represent them. Because you can't get a lawyer in large parts of this country, probably all over. It's difficult to get a lawyer to represent you against the police. Very difficult to get a lawyer. More than one family got said they were told by lawyers that the lawyers wouldn't do it because they had to work in the same county. They had to work in the courts. They needed the cooperation of the guards. If they took a case against a particular guard or a couple of guards, they would find themselves at a disadvantage in their ordinary day-to-day work compared to the other lawyers, other solicitors, who hadn't taken such cases. And thus the corruption spreads out. No question of the ability of people, the access of sort of ordinary citizens to justice under the law becomes compromised and destroyed because nobody will stand up and there's no sufficient body of public opinion organised and focused actually to deal with it. And you see it resonating out in another way as well. It's remarkable when you talk, if you sit down and talk to Frank or even Luke, sit down and read that are some of the things that he's talking about. And look at the individual guardie involved. Look at what else they were involved in. People said, hey, what was going on in that crazy place, Donegal, all those years? What on earth brought the situation about in Donegal? Was there something in the water? Is there something to do with that peculiar weather up there? Or the landscape of Donegal? That you got this peculiar breed of Gardaí in this one county? Of course that's not true. Of course that's not true. All that happened in Donegal is that they encountered the McBrearty family and they encountered in Frank McBrearty Sr., a man who had a business that was doing well, had a few bob, and had more than that, had the determination to follow the thing through and wouldn't allow them to walk all over them. If Frank McBrearty Sr. hadn't said, we're not having this, I'm going to get you the hurt of this, they'd never have known any of this. See, the other case I'm referring to, if you start getting into the McBrearty stroke Barron case, the investigation of or non-investigation of it, and looking at what happened, where you find yourself looking at the guards who were involved, sort of in the murky business surrounding the Oma bomb. You find them, same guys. You'd be led back to the Veronica Gehring case. Same guys. There, it's not just in Donegal. These are the same people investigating themselves, the same individuals, the same culture, right throughout the Gardaí, driving these high-profile cases. That's one of the reasons Michael McDowell is determined to contain the thing within Donegal, contain it within that division, not allow any chain of command or chain of responsibility to rise above the Gardaí, who were just based locally, one or two, thrown to the wolves, hung out to dry, so that the rest of the forces here will be dealt with that. The proper channels worked. What this case is proving is that the proper channels don't work and can't work because they are not designed to arrive at the truth. They are not designed to make the Gardaí accountable. They are not designed to give justice to ordinary people in the state. On the contrary, the proper channels and the institutions of the state, including the judiciary, are specifically designed to prevent the truth emerging, to prevent sort of people finding justice and finding out what happened to their loved ones and why they have gone through nightmare situations. You see, in a way, they could say, you know, we've been here before. You know, the danger is, I don't think this danger is going to be realised because of the determination of the McBrearty family and also for the fact that they've begun all the other cases that we can remember, sort of big scandals to do with the Gardaí and to do with injustices. They all remained isolated. That's in my memory of it anyway. They remained isolated. Remember, I'm old enough to remember the heavy gang, sort of all that sort of, and the Gardaí were going around beating the shit out of people to get confessions out of them for things that they never did, and one or two things, indeed, that never happened. You know, so the heavy gang did that. And at the time, people said, well, you know, there's all these subversives around, terrorists and so forth. You know, you can't use namby-pamby methods to deal with them sort of boils. You know, so if the Gardaí are going around kicking the shit out of people, I mean, just to get confessions out of them, sure, maybe that's the only thing that'll work. An awful lot of people said that, quietly, and even not so quietly, actually said that. Then the same heavies went down and beat and intimidated confessions, you might remember, sort of in the Kerry Beebe's case, out of a family, the same people. The point I'm making is, if you admit it, you say it's okay to do it because they're dealing with bad guys. The next thing you know, once the principle is established that they can do that, once that practice is institutionalised, nobody's safe. Even an innocent family, Joanne Hayes and her family down in Kerry, who confessed to the murder of a child, which couldn't possibly have happened. And somebody who won't go into it in detail, but you might remember sort of when they were caught out that they couldn't have killed the baby in question, they came up with a crazy story, utterly crazy story that rightly two babies It all starts with, maybe they didn't kill the baby that they confessed to, but they can kill another baby that they didn't confess to. And also, you might remember, certainly, there was marvellous theories of, I forget what you actually called it at the time, to do with biology. And so what do you call it again?
Super fecundation.
Supercalifragilistic fecundation, whatever it was called.
The superintendent that has totally framed my family, who brought down four officers from the Serious Crime Squad, as the one of the main officers was involved in the Kerry Baby case, Superintendent Joseph Shelley. Yep. And he is the man fully responsible for the tactics that were used against my family. And the fact that the Kerry Baby case is the biggest scandal in the history of the state, and the state had the chance at that time to resolve the problems within the police force, but instead put a temporary fire blanket over the problem. And I encountered the same problems at the Morris Tribunal, where they want to write history the way it should be written, but it is well known and documented now that the Kerry Baby case is still alive today, what was done, because I am an example of the Kerry Baby case, where I had a statement of confession fabricated against me by four corrupt police officers, a senior corrupt police officers from the ranks of superintendent right up to the Garda Commissioner, where five members of the Hayes family admitted to a crime that they possibly couldn't even have been involved in and didn't happen. And the fact that the Tribunal of Inquiry totally exonerated the Gardaí for extracting five confessions out of these five innocent people. And that's what the Morris Tribunal was set up, designed to do to me, but I haven't allowed them to do it to me. Because they were going to, let me without doubt tell the people of Ireland, the Morris Tribunal was going to say that I made a confession to let those four officers off the hook. And I will deny to the day I die that I ever made a confession to the death of Richie Burns. And it's totally set up in the same circumstances as the Kerry Baby Tribunal was set up, to protect the state at all costs from the bigger picture. But what happens in cases like the Kerry Baby case and our case is history always comes back to repeat itself. And De Valera is an example of our history in this country where it came back to haunt him. Well, the Kerry Baby case is still there, still haunting him. And still a corrupt member of the police force, and I won't name him, still says to this day that if he's proved wrong, he'll have to eat humble pie. I mean, it's extraordinarily. I mean, it's a known fact that the girl didn't have twins. And they still, certain members of the Garda force today, still accuse her of having twins when she didn't have twins.
Yep. We won't go into it, and even after all that, I mean, and you had, you know, Dean Lyons and the rest of it, another young fellow who confessed to a crime which turned out, A, he didn't commit, and couldn't possibly have committed it, and what's more, sort of the Gardaí knew who had committed it at the time, and still didn't, and let the conviction stand, and sort of let him go through all that. So they don't learn. They don't learn. And the reasons I'm saying why they don't learn is that that's not their function. Their function is not. There's nonsense that you hear all the time. Every time there's a bit of a scandal involving the Gardaí and it's discussed on the radio or the television, politicians, some very surprising politicians, I mean, feel it necessary to preface their remarks by saying that, mind you, they have hold the Gardaí in the highest admiration. They're great fellows altogether, the vast and overwhelming majority of them, saints who go out risking their lives in all weathers, and they simply to protect the citizens, but there may be one or two bad apples, and that's what the system is there to. You get rid of those bad apples and the rest of it. And when you look around sort of the next week, you discover more bad apples and more bad apples and more bad apples. And they're all at the same thing. The fact of the matter is, Frank's absolutely right about this, sort of, that the Morris Tribunal was not set up to get at the truth of what had happened in Donegal. The Morris Tribunal was established to contain the truth of what happened in Donegal. And actually, it's interesting that if you look at the Act in 1921, Tribunals of Inquiry Evidence Act, which is set up under which the Morris Tribunal is set up, what it actually says is that it can be set up by a minister when there's a need to restore confidence. Very odd phrase, that, to restore confidence in the Gardaí. Mate, what sort of a function is that? You know, so this may just be legalistic jargon, but it's interesting that it's there, sort of, and it harmonises with what actually happens. Because the task of the tribunal ought not to be to restore confidence in the Gardaí, because the truth of what happened in Donegal, far from restoring confidence in the Gardaí, would reveal that the Gardaí are not entitled to the confidence of citizens. So there's a contradiction built into the whole nature of the inquiry in the first place, and we'll see this over and over again. Sort of inquiries. The inquiries that have gone on in Dublin Castle into all sorts of corruptions. I mean, we can, we're not focusing on that tonight, but it's worth mentioning in passing. Sort of that we've now got a whole culture of tribunals going on all over the place. Sort of, and despite all these tribunals and the corruption and the rest of it, the corrupt society that's all around us sails on regardless. Tens of millions of euros owned by tax, and we discover that a secret meeting's been held, and the tax authorities say, well, that's right, you owe 14 million a day. Give us 7 and 6 pence and we'll call it quits, you know. Meanwhile, some poor bugger, I mean, who's defrauded the social welfare, you know, of a few quid, is hauled up and disgraced in the local newspapers, denounced as a scrounger on the state, sort of, and all the rest of it. You know, so these double standards, the double standard mainly between the power at the top and the people at the bottom. That's where the double standard comes in. Frequently associated with wealth. Not always, but frequently associated with wealth and political position. There's one very interesting, I was asked to Frank Eric because I didn't know about this. I mean, sort of, what do you reckon, sort of, in the McGlinchey module of what's going on in Donegal, which I find very puzzling, having read Carol McGlinchey's book and was no wiser at the end of it. I found it bizarre, sort of, things that she described. I'm sure that some of them are true. I was also finished the book thinking that some of them are not true.
Does anybody read like that?
I don't know. But there's one little paragraph in the first chapter of the book which Carol McGlinchey, while she was writing about her sister, Adrian McGlinchey, who was the person who's allegedly, and it was presented by the Gardaí as an IRA mole and all the rest of it. Very strange story. But anyway, she's one little paragraph when she's, remember, she is the daughter of Bernard McGlinchey, big time Fianna Fáil power broker up in Donegal, owns the Golden Grill in Letterkenny. And she just mentions this in passing. She says when she was growing up, a little girl, that her dad was a big wheeling local Fianna Fáil. She says the guards were round socialising in the house all the time. She says, and then her dad decided he was going to start this night spot, the Golden Grill. But he couldn't get a licence. What's he going to do? Had these premises. He could see the market, but couldn't get a licence. Luckily, she writes, at that time, the Minister for Justice, Charles Hawhey's 1962, Hawhey was the Minister for Justice, was piloting through the Dáil the Intoxicating Liquor Act of 1962. I'd never heard of it until then, but apparently it's a very important act. She says, her dad went down to Donegal and saw Charlie Hawhey and got Charlie Hawhey to insert into the bill a paragraph designed to get him a licence for the Golden Grill night spot in Letterkenny. How remarkable. They got the law changed. The law! Just by the Minister for Justice. Now ask yourself, what gave the guards in Donegal and anywhere else to believe that they could get away with the type of shenanigans that they got up to in relation to the McBrady family and that there'd be no comeback found? Wasn't it that? Wasn't it that sort of closeness with the political establishment? The fact that they were doing deals and stroking one another for corrupt money sort of down through the years? That when it came to say, oh, we'll just do the McBrady's for that. We don't like the cut of their jib. We'll do them for murder, even though there was no murder. We're going to get away with it. That's the context in which these things happen. There's an intimate connection between sort of the type of day-to-day corruption which resulted in the attempt to frame McBrady's and other members of the family for murder on the one hand, and the political and economic corruption, which is the subject of different investigations and different scandals. And they're all the same thing. They're all to do with the nature of a society based on unaccountable wealth, unaccountable privilege, unaccountable power. And that is why it is necessary sort of this time to ensure sort of that a particular scandal which catches the headlines and which makes some progress because of the doggedness and the indomitability of a particular group of people or of a particular family is necessary and important to ensure that it doesn't just become another scandal, that there's a flurry, a bench of outrage about it sort of in certain sections of the media and society, and then it goes away again and people scratch their heads years later and say, whatever happened to that case? Whatever happened, what was the outcome of it? What we need to do, it seems to me, is to bring all these cases together, to draw the broad lessons of them. Otherwise, they need to hold power to account. In the first instance, directly rather than in this case, the Garda power, police power, to hold them to account. And it seems to me that that means, if not sort of a national organisation, sort of in terms of people joining a crusade or a campaign or something, but certainly, sort of as I understand it, as the way Frank is thinking, that we need to have before this year is out. We need a national demonstration, sort of in this country, bringing together people with their different stories all over the country. We need meetings, sort of an organization right across the country to draw these, the type of stories that were told in Frankie's and UFO last Saturday, which exist all over the country, to tell those people you're not alone. And of course it's the case that it's just your family looking for justice, you're not going to get it. But add your campaign and your concern to the campaigns and concerns of all the other people right across the country, and we can put this right at the centre of the political agenda. And I think in order to do that, we need to get, I mentioned sort of the unwillingness sort of the politicians and the media, and for the most part, to take these cases up. Frank mentioned crime correspondents. Most crime correspondents are dependent on Garda sources. Now, that's a scandal in itself. An awful lot of people, the most prominent journalistic celebrities, some of them, crime correspondents, are in fact little more than conduits for information which particular Gardaí want channeled into the public arena. And since they do that, they can't afford to expose what's going on in the Gardaí. So you can't depend upon the crusading media actively to do this. And I say that you certainly can't depend upon establishment politicians. There are individual members of the DAW who come out of the McBrady case sort of with honour. I think if Frank would agree with that. It's Jerry Crowley, isn't it? It's
Jerry Crowley, yeah.
Jerry Crowley and a couple of others. And Finian McGrath, for example, is another. I mean, if you look at his record on it, I mean, certainly can't be faulted and so on. There are individuals outside the establishment for the most part. I think of what we need to have is those people and what they represent. We need a broad left alliance on this case. I'm a member of the SWP, but I'd say publicly as I would say privately, I'm well aware the campaign, which is simply the SWP trying to campaign for truth in this, is not nearly big enough or broad enough, nowhere near broad enough, actually. Let's do one. We need allies. We need allies on the left. Everybody who's willing to come along in a campaign to expose corruption in the Gardaí, to expose what that corruption is based upon, the protection of wealth and privilege, and unaccountable privilege in this country. And I think if we do that, and I think if we go about it, we can produce a demonstration 1,000 strong. We're just families who then might have the opportunity to tell their stories, to hold up pictures of their loved ones who have died and have never had an explanation for it. Maybe I come from the north, where we've been doing this for a long time, and it strikes me now more and more, perhaps because of the juncture that we've reached in the north, that really if we were looking for profound and real change on this island, we should have paid an awful lot more attention to similar things and worse things happening in the south of Ireland, and not just concentrating in the north. I think we need to bring all these things together. I think we need a left alliance. They talked about, to get my phrase used, a broad alliance. I agree with that. A broad alliance of everybody who will come forward on this. People are in political parties, and most of them will not be in political parties at all, but have their own individual grievances, their own individual sadnesses to attend to. I think it's from this meeting, in conjunction with what Frank's doing, and there's another meeting being held in Rafoe in the beginning of September, isn't that right?
Saturday
the 3rd of September. And they go on from there and see these not just as protest meetings, but as organising meetings. Organising meetings to organise the type of mass movement against Garda brutality, corruption and unaccountability, which alone can bring about changes, which should start with the appointment of an ombudsman on the Northern Mon. Thank you.